All of the ground. Yep. Who's that number? Would you like to just wait for them or not?
440.
440? No, that ain't the one I'm looking for. I will think it was one of them.
No, it's 272.
272. 272. Oh, troubled heart, there is a home beyond the reach of toil and care. A home where changes never come. Who would not fain be resting there? Oh, wait, meekly wait and murmur not. Oh, wait, meekly wait and murmur not. Oh, wait, oh, wait, oh, wait and murmur not. Yet when bowed down beneath the load, by heaven allow thine earthly lot. Look up, thou reach thy blessed abode. Wake meekly, wait and murmur not. Oh, wait, meekly wait and murmur not. Oh, wait, meekly wait and murmur not. Oh, wait, oh, wait, oh, wait and murmur not, oh, murmur not. Call on, nor ding the sorry beat. One sigh unheard, one prayer forgot. The day of rest will dawn for thee. Wake meekly, wait and murmur not. Oh, meekly, wait and murmur not. Oh, meekly, wait and murmur not. Oh, wait and murmur not, oh, murmur not. 440. I have a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow, he's my comfort, in trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my trials has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of with his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Come what may, of joy or sorrow, be my portion, pain or rest. Jesus guides me and directs me, and his way is always best. Jesus knows. All is vain unless the Spirit. Father, count the milestones.
This opportunity to welcome you. Trust we've come for one purpose, and that is to worship and praise our holy God's name. He has indeed provided a beautiful day for us. Happens to be rainy and dreary and cool, but it's a beautiful day because He has provided it for us. We trust we're thankful for this. I read a statement the other day in a magazine, and I don't remember exactly how it went, but it should give you something to think about. I can't imagine anything more cruel in my case is that a wish that I had everything today that I told God I was thankful for yesterday. It makes you realize how far short we fall in offering our thanks for what we have if what you thank God for today was all you had tomorrow. I heard disturbing news of Sister Nancy's daughter and her husband being viciously murdered Friday, I believe it was. Please be in prayer for her family. It's awful. It shows what kind of people we're turning into. We're turning away from God, and you see this stuff is not supposed to happen around here. It's only supposed to be in the bad parts of the big cities, and you see it start getting closer and closer to us, and it gives you an idea of what we're becoming as a people. There's a lot of tragedy and sickness and shame. I ask you if you'll pray for my wife. She lost a dear aunt who was buried yesterday. We have Elder Brayman in the hospital. He's home now. His wife is in the hospital surgery. She's home now. Please be in prayer for them. We have a lot of problems in this life, and it seems like when something like this home invasion happens, it makes absolutely no sense. It wants us to ask God to intervene in a big way. I understand that family was very well known, very highly thought of in this community. Please be in prayer for Sister Nancy and her family. It's a very, very tragic Please be in prayer for all those I mentioned. Is there anyone else that we need to remember this morning? Sister Lena is not here. Her brother passed away sometime, I think, in this past week. Do you know, Brother
Aaron? I have not heard.
I think she's in Florida, or she went that way. And
she may still be there. Yeah.
Please be in prayer for her. Anyone else? If not, it's like I say, it's good to see you. I ask you that you be in prayer for these people we mentioned. Be in prayer for this service, that we may take something away that will cause us to appreciate what we've got a little more this time of year. Let's look to the Lord. Most holy and gracious God, as we come here, we're indeed thankful that we have the almighty, all-powerful, all-merciful, all-loving God of all grace, that we have this privilege to bow before Thee, O Lord. We have a reassurance that as we pray and ask in our own feeble manner, that our words be attuned to Thy ear through our advocate, Jesus Christ. Gracious God, we ask You to hear as we sing the song that when we travel through the desert, that storms will beset us. But we trust in Thee, O Lord, that Thou will lead and guide our footsteps. We trust that Thy comfort will come to those that are hurting this day because of tragedies that happen. Dear God, we don't want to overlook the blessings that we have, the times of joy that when we go to doctors and they give us good reports, and whenever we take treatments and it seems to work. We're so thankful, O Lord, for all Thy blessings and all Thy guidance. And sometimes the tragedies of life overshadows our thankfulness. Gracious God, we ask, O Lord, that You be around about us all. Bless all those that pray and worship and meet this day in Thy name. Give us a comforting heart, O Lord. Cause us, O Lord, to thank Thee for all Thy blessings. Dear God, be around about us as we go into this meeting. Bless us that we may speak to Thy glory, and that glory may be felt in our hearts, that it may be radiated from us as we go forth from this place, that people may see that there is a people that are trying to walk with God. Gracious God, we thank You for this privilege. Be around about us all, dear God. We ask You to be around about those that are unable to be here because of sickness or other commitments. Be around about all the churches that meet this day in Thy name. Be around about this country and our leaders. That we ask that You would guide them in a way that they could guide us in a way that's pleasing to Thy sight. Dear God, we ask You to be around about our soldiers on foreign soils and here in these states. Keep them safe, O Lord. Keep us all in Thy hand and give us that peace of our trust and our hope. Gracious God, we thank You this day. Please hear our prayers and bless us in Christ's holy name, we pray, and amen. This is February. This is a time of month, and I'd be remiss if I didn't remind you that if you've got somebody that you care about, this month you're supposed to tell them you do. You don't ever do it before. I don't care whether it's your kids or your parents or your spouse. If you care anything about them, tell them. I think you're supposed to do it more often than that, but if you don't do it no other time, at least do it now. I want to read to you just a moment. I ask for your prayers. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us in the third chapter, I believe it is, fourth verse, he says, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. That's a very complex scripture. And I don't want to get into that complexity. I want to take the simple version of it. What it's doing is making us realize that even though I trust God, even though I believe most times that I am one of His children, even though I believe He leads me, and most time I try to do what He wants, we can still expect good times and bad times. Even though you're a child of God, the road won't be completely smooth. He's telling us that you'll go from one extreme to the other. You'll go from times of happiness and joy and times that you want to dance until the times of sadness, the times where we cry and we mourn. We spend a lot of time, we spend a lot of effort in our lives trying to keep the bad times from happening. We buy things that we like that will make us happy. We try to avoid situations that are not happy situations. We got elections coming up. You didn't already know that. People are trying to become the leader of this country. If, and I know this is a stretch, if we could put two people in there that were running for office that were believable, if one got up and told the truth and says, I promise you, you'll have higher taxes and you'll have less jobs and you'll have less housing and you'll have a whole lot of people going hungry, and the other person says, I will have everybody with a chicken in their pots. I'll have everybody where they can drive a new car. Which person would get elected president? The person that can promise you happy things. And that's basically what the election is about. But what that has created is we tend to migrate to that which makes us feel happy, and as a result of that, we have been convinced that our happiness is dependent upon how big a pile of stuff you've got. If this guy says you won't have much, you're not going to be happy. If he can give you a lot, that's the one I want. In your quest to be happy, in your quest to find joy in this life, I want you to consider this. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the 8th chapter, Moses gives us several warnings to the children of Israel before they go into the promised land with all the blessings that's been told that will be there waiting for them. He says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. You say, well, that's foolish. Nobody, especially the children of Israel, is going to forget God. And he explains how it happens. He says, don't forget God, and that's my own words, says, lest whenever you get into the promised land and you have eaten and you're full, you got a full belly, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all thou hast is multiplied. When you get in there and you've got everything that will make you happy, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. That is a direct result of having everything you want. He says you'll forget God. This is the God that says led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, and that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy later end. And thou say in thy heart, whenever you have all these good things, the first thing that comes into your sinful nature of your heart, he says, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that has given thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto the fathers as it is this day. He says, you are a blessed people. You have plenty. You should remember that the fountain that of all that is good, the fountain of all that is good that you have, the fountain of all the good that you do is from God. That's the purpose of having our fourth Thursday in November, Thanksgiving. We gather together and say, thank you, God, for everything I've got. I look around and I see I've got a good family. Everything, I've got a good home. I've got a certain amount of health. I've got all these things. And we assemble one day a year and say, thank you. Because we have so much stuff. Now, in direct contrast to that, I want you to hear what Paul tells the church at Corinth. Paul was trying to convince the church at Corinth that they needed to take up a collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem. Corinth was a wealthy seacoast town. A lot of traders coming in, what we call today international trade. They were wealthy, a lot of commerce going on there. They had a lot of stuff. And they said, the people in the churches at Jerusalem are in dire need, and you need to take up a collection for them. And to get his point across, he gives an example of the churches at Macedonia. If you read about the history of the churches at Macedonia at this time, excuse me, he tells them that they didn't have anything. They were having a lot of problems, and they really were no better shape than the churches at Jerusalem were. He writes in the 8th chapter, he says, moreover, brethren, he's writing to the church of Corinth, he said, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God, I'm trying to inform you about what the grace of God, that to the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. I want to tell you about how God applied his grace to the churches of Macedonia. He says how that in a great trial of affliction, they were having it rough, how in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. What he's saying is, even though they had great afflictions, they had deep poverty, they had nothing, they still gave a good-sized collection to the church at Jerusalem. They give it with an abundance of joy and in great liberality or great generosity. He's bringing out a point, Paul says, it's all because the grace of God. They were able to do this, that God applied to them. And he's saying the church at Corinth, because they've got a lot, they certainly ought to be able to do the same thing as the church of Macedonia. Now, a little side note, the whole lot of churches today still believe in the Old Testament practice of tithing. And they'll use these particular verses to ask for more money whenever they need to raise some money. They'll tell you, I know the economy is bad. I know people are out of work. We have to watch the cost of living is going up. There's a lot of things going on, but there's not much money in the collection plate these days. But I want you to understand, if these poor and afflicted people at Macedonia can do it, surely you can dig a little bit deeper in your pockets and donate more to the church. But we don't believe in tithe. That's an Old Testament practice they don't do anymore. And I don't believe Paul believed in it either. And so what he's showing us with this text is a different lesson altogether. It's because of God's grace we can have abundant joy even in hard times, even when times are bad. When sorrow comes to us, we can be happy even if you don't have a big pile of stuff, is what he's trying to tell us. Now, here's where a lot of people get confused. In the 59th Psalm, David asked God to protect him, to deliver him from his enemies. There were people that were laying in wait trying to kill David. And he asked God to be around about him and protect him. And he says in the 59th Psalm, he says, because of his strength, because of God's strength, he says, will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. Now, people will take that in the wrong way. And no matter how bad things are, no matter how many people are waiting to kill you, David says, I'm going to be patient and just trust in God. It sounds like he says, well, I'm under this big umbrella. Since God's in charge of everything, I don't have to worry about anything. That it's all predetermined, that nothing's going to happen because God said he would take care of me, so I don't worry about it, and I have nothing to be afraid of because God is in charge and he's predetermined everything. But Paul is telling us our circumstances, whether they be good or bad, whether they be times of happiness or sadness, are by the grace of God. Now, that doesn't mean that it's predetermined. He says, even if you are in great afflictions, if you are on your deathbed, or if you are having great poverty or whatever, he said, God will apply.